Don't be afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together.
Welcome to episode 39. I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
What have we been up to?
Dying.
Dying. I've been sick all month.
All month, nonstop. It
started out with an ear infection and sinus infection. I'm just getting over strep throat. That's why I haven't been recording.
Getting over? You've been on antibiotics for just over 24 hours. That's not getting over.
Well, I'm not contagious anymore.
But that does not make a recovery.
I know. So I might sound like shit this episode, but I wanted to get an episode out, so... what are we drinking today?
Tonight? I'm not drinking anything anymore. I should probably be drinking water.
I was drinking
apple pie moonshine
and Pepsi Zero. And now I'm drinking ice water because I need something for my throat. We'll go ahead and get into this. Hopefully I'll make it quick so you don't have to listen to my crazy voice. Here are five fun facts about unique and fun ways that people around the world celebrate the new year.
Five fun facts.
Number one, in Denmark, the Danes throw unused plates saved up throughout the year at the front doors of family and friends for good luck. Danes also stand on chairs just before midnight. An old tradition says they jump into the new year as the clock strikes midnight.
I mean, I can see that, but also the last place I want to be jumping is the new year. Like,
yeah.
Not ready.
Yeah. Number two, in some Latin American countries, people carefully pick the underwear they wear for the holiday. Yellow enhances your chances for abundance and money.
Mm-hmm.
Red means you'll likely find love.
Okay.
And if you were sporting white underpants, preferably new and clean, then peace was your top priority for the coming year.
I will definitely buy new white underpants.
Yeah. Yep. Number three. In Scotland and Greece, they believe the first person who enters your home and the new year will either bring good or bad luck. Make sure you're careful about who it is and that they walk in using their right foot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, funny thing about right foot, left foot, folklore says that you should always put your shoe on with your dominant foot first. So for most of us, that would be our right foot.
Right.
Unless you're a lefty, then please use your left foot. Because then you're starting your journey, your day off on your correct, on the correct foot, on the, you know what I mean?
I always do that, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't used to, and sometimes I still find myself going to slip on my left shoe first, and I'm like, I don't need anything else that could possibly go wrong in my life. Let's just do everything we can to make sure things go smoothly.
Yeah. Number four, in Hawaii, they celebrate by popping firecrackers to ward off evil spirits, eating noodles, which symbolize longevity.
Fucking hell yes. Let's get some noodles.
Yeah. Cleaning, so you don't carry your old life into the new year. And for some local families, pounding mochi. If you don't know what mochi is, like I didn't. Mochi is a Japanese dessert made from sweet glutinous rice flour or mochi gome. Mochi is made by soaking mochi gome overnight, steaming it, pounding it into dough, and molding it into various shapes. The dough is often tinted with green tea powder or other food colorings and wrapped around a sweet center.
Mochi seems to be a very popular thing right now.
Yeah.
I saw mochi at Ross.
Oh, nice.
Which, it was my understanding that mochi was meant to be eaten cold, like ice cream.
Right.
Because that's how, like, whenever I see it at the Japanese market, it's, like, cold.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, fun little tidbit.
Yeah. Number 5, the Chinese New Year is a festival that lasts 15 days and starts on a different date every year, following the phases of the moon. It begins with the new moon between the end of January and the middle of February. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now let's celebrate the new year by learning about Victorian New Year's Eve traditions. This one is from a KingsRiverLife.com article by Sarah A. Peterson Camacho. Kings River Life is a California magazine with a local focus and global appeal, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
As frost and fog envelop the Central Valley in the ghostly shroud of winter, thoughts drift inward to the warmth of family, home, and the holidays. But as the Christmas tree is lit and the new year rang in with loved ones, the season's longest, darkest nights recall a time when ghost stories and spooky soirees were the otherworldly order of the day. For as saturated in death culture as the 19th and early 20th centuries were, from the Civil War to the advent of World War I, the 1918 influenza epidemic, and beyond, it is no wonder that the Victorian era gave birth to the spiritualism movement.
Yep.
Victorian mourning customs and rituals and the holiday tradition of telling ghost stories. With the runaway success and popularity of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol in 1843, the association of the supernatural with the holiday took root in the public imagination, spawning not only a winter storytelling tradition, but also a macabre new way to celebrate the season. Ghost parties are prevalent in Auburn nowadays, reported the Weekly Trinity Journal of Weaverville, California, in April of 1870. In the first ever mention of a ghostly social gathering not tied to Halloween. By 1872, ghost parties were popping up across the Midwest as an anecdote to the winter doldrums, homespun affairs featuring skull-shaped tickets, sheet and pillowcase costumes, and skeleton turkey suppers.
What? Skeleton turkey suppers.
Yeah. California's capital city took the morbid phenomenon to the next level when Sacramento's Pavilion Skating Rink hosted a ghoulish winter extravaganza in 1876, but it wasn't until the mid-1880s that the very first New Year's ghost party was held in Greenville, Alabama. Putting the party trend on the map in 1891, Household Journal The Art Exchange featured careful instructions for carrying out a New Year's ghost party in its January edition, making party hostesses everywhere sit up and take notice. One of them, New York Society maven Linda Hall Larned,
the Martha Stewart of her day,
took the home entertaining world by storm with the publication of 1899's The Hostess of Today, which helped spark the haunted holiday celebration's high-end renaissance. Some people told to the notion that the realm of spirits is only separated from that of mortals by a veil, wrote Larned in the San Francisco Examiner on Sunday, December 18th, 1904, and to a favored few, the veil is transparent. By the winter of 1904, the newest New Year's party trend had hit the West Coast in a snowstorm of white cheesecloth. Larned's go-to material for any self-respecting ghost, From the costumes
and
to
ectoplasm.
And ectoplasm, yeah. From the costumes to the party decor, the author advocated for a veritable blizzard of the filmy gauze to drape every conceivable surface. A masquerade ball of sorts, Larned's spectral soiree called for each swathed guest to wear a blood-red number for a ghostly guessing game just before a phantom white supper, accompanied by a wassail bowl of hot spiced wine around which tiny skeletons were to be perched, as though fishing in the bowl for lost souls. The wassail cup was originally the skull of an enemy, noted the Victorian era Martha Stewart. And of course, there were to be ghost stories. Once the disguises had been discarded and the spirited appetites sated, told in twilight gloom of blue shaded lamps, lit only by basins of burning alcohol. But be careful of fire. And accompanying the tales of terror was to be an orchestra of musicians concealed behind a screen of cheesecloth, their music muffled and doleful. You are asked to meet the departing spirits of the year at a wraith reunion, so read the black-bordered invitation received by one Mrs. Grace Griscom, printed on Victorian morning stationery, usually reserved for announcing a death in the family.
She pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. By the time New Year's Day of 1905 dawned in the Central Valley, a decidedly darker, more gothic ghost party had descended upon the city of Fresno. The guests, upon entering the home of this hostess on New Year's Eve, wrote Griscom in the Fresno Morning Republican of Sunday, January 1st, 1905, found the hall draped in black and lighted very sparingly with candles. Upon the parting the curtains, a scene of Stygian gloom was disclosed. Walls were hung with black, and to lighten up the surrounding horrors, there was a weird moon and a few sickly stars.
What?
It was like a moon, you know, like taped to the wall and some sickly stars,
descriptive language is lacking. I'm trying to picture what makes a moon weird.
I don't know.
And how are stars sickly?
I think it's I guess the way they were made and hung up. I don't know.
I would just like, I would like the person who wrote this to be more descriptive so that I can have, like, not a cartoon image in my brain.
I don't know.
That's all. That's it.
I don't know what she was trying to say.
Oh, is this a woman writing?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Draping the door.
Still.
Yeah, I know.
More descriptives, please.
I get it. Draping the doorways and fixtures like a bayou graveyard, Spanish moss hung low and wispy as a giant spider swung from the chandelier, a towering python coiled in the gloom. The real shivers of the evening began upon greeting the hostess, Griscom continued, who was gowned in ghostly gray, flowing draperies. As each guest greeted her, a series of shrieks was heard as her hand came off in the friendly grasp. Apparently she had a fake hand that came off.
I saw that on Instagram the other day. I need to send that to you if I didn't already.
Yeah.
Not that, but you just triggered a memory of a reel that I saw.
A trio of cackling witches presided over a bubbling cauldron, which was lit from within with burning alcohol. Uttering incantations in the flickering light, they foretold what the new year had in store for each guest. Another game of creeps was carried out in the following fashion. The company gathered about a large round table, and someone appointed for the task handed all kinds of shaky, shivery objects underneath it. These were passed from one guest to another. Squeamish partygoers could barely handle each slimy, oozing item without squealing.
Sounds like seventh grade biology class.
Yeah. Every member of the party was tasked with sharing a ghost story, but before the second tell had gotten underway, a flock of full-bodied apparitions descended upon the startled group, hovering in a cloud of floating gray stuff before disappearing as suddenly as they had materialized. At 11:30, guests were treated to a very late supper, a funereal feast of dishes usually served... Funereal feast of dishes usually served after someone had died, spread across a table, covered in a pall of funeral black, crawling with animated fake spiders and worms.
P-A-U-L?
P-A-L-L. But at the stroke of midnight, just as things were getting rather too intense and the spookiness too spooky, a peal of bells broke the spell. Light flooded the room, revealing a lavish buffet of delicacies, minus the creepy crawlies, adorned with sprays of blood-red Christmas flowers, accented with holly and mistletoe. The hostess then announced a truce to the old war of spirits, Griscom concluded, and a goodbye to her guests. The popularity of the New Year's ghost party remained steady throughout the early 1900s, but by the eve of America's entry into World War I, the trend had all but given up the ghost. Perhaps by then, with the gathering storm clouds of influenza and trench warfare looming on the horizon, death had proven to be all too real. So that's the article I found really interesting.
I've never heard about these parties before. And as much as I like to learn about history, I'm genuinely surprised that I've never heard of this before.
I've never either until I did the research. I just found it and thought I should share it. So
yeah, it's really interesting, really cool.
And I would like to end this episode with a eerie New Year's poem.
Okay.
In the midnight's hush, as the year does expire, a spectral dance of time fueled by dark desire. The echoes of laughter, a ghostly refrain, whispering secrets of joy and of pain. The clock strikes 12 with a ghostly chime, unveiling the portal to a realm out of time. A specter of memories, both haunting and sweet, in the graveyard of moments where past and future meet. Beneath the crescent moon's eerie glow, resolutions and regrets in shadows do grow. Phantoms of dreams like mist in the air dissolve into nothing, a spectral affair. The champagne sparkles like ethereal stars, a toast to the phantoms in old memoirs. Skeletons of the past dance in the firelight as the new year emerges from the shroud of night. Ghosts of the future, unseen and unknown, haunt the horizon where destinies are sown. A tapestry of his time, woven in the cosmic loom, in the witching hour, a spectral bloom. So as the clock strikes in this spectral waltz, embrace the unknown where shadows exalt. In the graveyard of time where the spirits cheer, wish a hauntingly happy new year.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the author of that is unknown, so.
Aw, bummer.
Yeah. So let's get out of here. Let my voice heal up a little bit.
Yeah.
If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook and Instagram and Threads at afraidishpodcast. Tell me what you want to hear about, any location you want to hear. All links will be in the show notes. I have this on YouTube as audio. You can listen anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Also rate and review, please, on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. 5 stars, please. You can now support this show with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes, if you want to. The link for that will be in the show notes. I'm starting a merch store. I've gotten a few items given to some people who seem to like them. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The shirts look really good.
They do. So, yeah. If you want anything, just holler at me. And until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Fuck you, 2023.